朱牧师能够邀请我们跟大家一起来分享。
I've actually known Pastor Mike and your other pastor, Pastor Simon, for some time.
其实我认识朱牧师以及黄传道有一阵子时间了。
I had the privilege of attending seminary with both those men as well as Tiffany and Audrey as well. So we know your pastors somewhat very well.
所以我跟朱牧师黄传道一起上神学院，甚至跟他们的夫人都一起上过神学院，所以我对他们的家庭有相当的认识。
My wife also extends her greetings this morning.
我的夫人也向大家问好。
She is here. She's just out with our little 3-month-old, but she will be back.
她是在这个建筑物里面，但是现在她在跟我们的3岁的婴儿在一起，但是她会马上回来的。
This morning, I would like us to take some time and turn to a very familiar passage of scripture.
今天早上，我希望能够花一点时间，然后看一下，也许大家都很熟悉的一些经文。
It's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the passage that we've already read together.
是在路加福音第五章1到11节，我们刚才已经读过了。
As you turn there, let me very briefly give you an introduction to who we are and the ministry that God has called us to.
当我们现在在找那些经节的时候，我很快的用这段时间跟大家介绍一下我们是谁，以及我们的事工是怎么样。
God led us to the continent of Africa, specifically the country of Zambia, 2 years ago in 2012.
所以神带领我们到非洲这个洲际的这个地方。这个国家的名字叫做Zambia。
Zambia、yeah.
这个国家的名字叫 Zambia。在那边做我们的事工。
We had the privilege of ministering there at a school called Central Africa Baptist College。
我们那个在那边服侍的学校的名字是叫做非洲浸信会的一个学校。
Central Africa Baptist College was started 10 years ago for the purpose of training the next generation of servant leaders in Africa for Great Commission Living.
所以这个浸信会的学校大概在十年前开始训练一些能够替神服侍的仆人为神的事工能够做到服侍的工作。
God has years ago placed a burden on my heart to be involved in training of nationals for preparation for ministry.
好几年以前神在我心里给了我一个负担让我去在那边训练当地的人能够替神做事工。
I didn't know where we were going to end up. As I said, I was at Central Seminary here working towards my ministerial training. And as I was finishing that up, God opened the opportunity for us to go to Zambia and be involved in teaching men for ministry.
当初我不晓得是到底未来会是怎么样子，所以我在这边上神学院的时候，神替我们在朝那个方向开了一个门，让我有机会到非洲去训练教导当地的人。
We went to Zambia in 2012 for what we thought was going to be 1 year.
我们当初是在2012年到这个非洲这个国家去的我当初以为大概只会有一年的时间。
But God had other plans for us. We ended up staying 2 years, and we have since returned back to the U.S. with a goal of going back long term.
但是很明显的神有不同的计划，所以我们在那边连续了待了2年，然后现在回到美国以后，我们有计划继续回去在那边服侍。
We're very excited that, as Pastor Mike said, God has allowed us to raise most of the funds necessary, and we leave back to go back to Zambia in just 3 weeks.
所以我们感谢神，就像朱牧师刚才提到的，我们大部分需要的这个基金都已经筹募到了，所以我们大概再过3个礼拜就会回去了。
There's much more to be said about the ministry and the opportunities God has allowed us, but I'll save that for our next hour together. I have a video and some pictures to show you.But I just wanted to give you a very brief introduction to the ministry that God has called us to.
我现在只是想给你做一个很简短的这个介绍。等一下的时候，我们会在主日学的时间，我们会花更多的时间，会让跟大家分享一些短片以及一些照片，来介绍我们在非洲的事工。
As we turn to the passage of Scripture together before us this morning, I have one question I want to ask you.
在我们回到这个今天我们要研读的这个经文之前，我要问你一个问题。
My question is, when you woke up this morning, what one thing was weighing most upon your mind?
所以我要问你的是，在你今天清晨、今天早晨醒来以后，有什么事情在你心理上觉得让你心情特别的沉重？
For each of us, we probably will answer that question very differently.
我们每一个人可能都会有不同的答案。
We live in a world full of many different stresses and pressures, and so your answer to that question might be your job, or your family, or your finances, or some interpersonal conflict. I don't know.
我们每个人的经验都很不一样，所以我们这个我们的给我们带来特别多的压力或者是忧愁的地方。有可能是在工作上的，有可能是在家庭里面带来的，有可能是在财务上面的，或者是我们人与人之间的一些关系会带来给我们压力。
Reality is though each of us woke up this morning with something on our mind.
但是事实存在，就是我们每一个人今天早上醒来的时候，心里都会在某一个方面会感觉到有压力。
Luke chapter 5 records for us the Apostle Luke's recording of Jesus' first calling of his very first disciples.
路加福音第五章刚开始的经文提到这个耶稣呼召他第一批的这个门使徒。
It's a very common text used with regard to evangelism. We've all heard the phrase, I will make you fishers of men.
所以这些经文是我们常来用的用来做传福音的传教宣教的这个经文，因为这些经文常常用来形容是让我们能够得人如得鱼一样。
It's a good text for evangelism, but I think there's a detail in this passage that we often miss when we look at the text.
这是宣教是这对宣教来讲是一个非常恰当的经文，但是我要跟提醒大家的就是这些经文里面有一些细节我们可能以前忽略过。
That detail occurs in verse 11, and it records for us not only Jesus' call that he makes on the disciples, but also the disciples' response to that call.
这个常常可能会忽略的细节在第十一节。这个十一节提到不光是耶稣呼召这些使徒，而且提到了这些使徒对耶稣的回应。
So where we're going to end up and the point that I want to drive home occurs in verse 11, but let's start together in verse 1.
所以这个是我要最后让你能够印象深刻的就是在那个里面，但是我们现在先回到第一节来。
We've already read the passage together, so I won't take the time to reread it. But as the passage opens, notice these men are not yet disciples. They're fishermen.
刚才我们已经读过了这些经文，所以我不会重复的花时间去读这些经文。但是我要你们注意到了，这个经文刚开始的时候，这些人还不是使徒，他们是打鱼的人。
We often want to...Fast forward in our minds and think of these men already as we know them to be the men they will become. But at this point, they're not yet committed to the message and the ministry of Jesus Christ.
常常我们在我们的脑海里面，我们希望能够把一些事情很快速的带到现在的这个我们已经了解的情况之下。但是呢，我要提醒大家的，这个时候这些人还不是已经全心全意投入。耶稣的这个信息以及他的这个事工之下的使徒。
They've actually already met Jesus in the previous chapter. Jesus' popularity has begun to grow, and these men have encountered him in other situations.
在这个之前呢，这些人呢，已经有认识跟耶稣有碰过面，有过接触而且在这个时候，耶稣的这个众人的对在众人面前对他的喜好呢的程度也越来越高。
But remember, as this passage opens, they're still fishermen, and in fact, This morning, that this passage records for us, they're unsuccessful fishermen.
所以再一次跟大家提醒，这个经节刚开始的时候，这些人还是打鱼的人。其实讲老实话呢，这些人呢是一些不成功的打鱼的人。
The passage tells us that they had fished all night and they had caught nothing.
这些经文告诉我们呢，他们整夜劳力打鱼，但是他们一条鱼都没有抓到。
So here's my question: What do you think they had on their minds that morning?
所以这就是我的问题了。你想想，你猜想一下，那天早上那些清晨，那天清晨，他们那些打鱼的人脑海里面是在想些什么事情呢？
Any answers?
有没有什么答案？
What did they want?
他们需要，他们想要求得的是什么？
What didn't they have? Fish.
他们要想求得的是鱼，但是他们没有的是什么？他们没有的也是鱼。
Now, by the way, that's not a bad thing. They're fishermen.
其实那个本身来讲的话，不是一件坏事情，因为他们是打鱼的人。
But when they, now again, they had been awake all night, so they weren't waking up like you and I woke up. But they started this morning with fish on their minds.
他们整夜的打鱼，不像你我是今天早上清晨才起来的。他们整夜的打鱼，所以他们一早的话，在脑海里面想到的都是鱼。
As we look through this passage, I want you to keep that in your mind and notice how Jesus uses that to his own advantage.
所以我们今天在我们今天讲我们所有的经文的时候，我希望你把那件事情牢牢的记在你脑海里面然后我们来看耶稣。如何利用那一个角度去教导这些人。
Now Jesus enters into their lives at the beginning of this passage in a very non-confrontational way.
这个经文刚开始的时候，耶稣进入他们的生活当中是一个以非常非常和平毫无冲突的方式去接触他们。
Jesus' popularity has begun to increase at this time, and he's starting to draw a large crowd. And so we meet him this morning at the seashore teaching.
所以耶稣这个受人喜爱的程度越来越高，所以他每次训的讲道的时候，这个群众的人数也会越来越多。所以今天早上呢，这个早上呢，耶稣就在岸边跟他们一起讲道。
He's walking down the seashore teaching, and he begins to feel the press of the crowd when he comes upon these men cleaning their nets after a fruitless night.
所以耶稣在这个岸边来回的走来走去，然后这些群众越来越拥挤他然后他看这些刚好这些打鱼的人在那个时候在洗网。
And he asks them a question with very little expectation. Hey, can I borrow your boat?
然后他耶稣就问向他们提出来一个要求，就说是一个非常和平而且是低调的方式来向他们提个要求，问他们可不可以用他们的船。
The fishermen are curious, and because Jesus is able to draw such a large crowd, and of course they're respectful to him, so they agree. They allow him to use their boat.
这些打鱼的人很好奇他们觉得耶稣能够吸引这么大的一个群众。所以为了出于一颗尊敬的心，他们就把这个船借给了耶稣。
So there, Jesus gets into their boat. He goes out from the shore a little ways to remove himself from the press of the crowd and continues teaching, maybe for a couple or three or four more hours.
所以耶稣就第一步先上了这个船，然后把这个船稍稍推离了岸边，稍稍远一点，然后站在这个。船上继续跟他们讲道，大概讲了三个，也许四个小时。
When he finishes teaching, it's probably midday by now, and the crowds begin to disperse.
耶稣讲完道以后，大概时间上大概是中午的时间，然后这个群众开始慢慢的分散了。
And Jesus increases the pressure a little bit on these fishermen.
然后这个时候呢，耶稣就稍稍的对这些打鱼的人开始施加了一点压力。
He moves from a low expectation question like borrowing their boat to telling them to do something that really doesn't make much sense to them.
他开始的时候是以一个非常低调的态度 向这些打鱼的人要求他们借他们的船。但是现在呢，现在他就开始要求打鱼人做一些就说是我们平常感觉上不太合逻辑的一些事情。
Remember, these are professional fishermen.
我要你大家记得的是，这些是全职性的打鱼的人。
They worked all night, they caught nothing.
他们整夜的劳力去打鱼，结果没有打到一条鱼。
And now, at the hottest part of the day, where no one expects to catch any fish, Jesus tells them to let their nets down.
然后现在呢，在一天中，在正午的时候，天气是最热的时候，通常是钓到一条鱼都钓不到的时候，然后耶稣这个时候要他们在船上下网。
You can almost hear the annoyance in Simon's voice as he answers, "Really? We worked all night. We caught nothing."
你几乎可以听到这个西门这个被烦的那种口气对耶稣这样子讲说，真的吗？我们劳力的一个晚上，我们没有钓到一条鱼。
But because he respects Jesus, he puts up with the request and lets down the net.
但是呢，因为他对耶稣的尊敬，所以就依从了他耶稣的话，然后把网下到水里面去。
And in an instant, Jesus demonstrates to them his power and authority.
在一刹那之刻，耶稣证明了他的这个权力以及权柄。
They woke up that morning with fish on their mind, and they haul in the largest load of fish they had ever caught.
所以那天早上他们脑海里面是为鱼而烦恼但是那个时候呢他们圈网了他们从来没有圈网过这么多的鱼
Put yourself in those fishermen's shoes for just a second and imagine what you would be feeling in that instant
把我们自己放到那些打鱼的人的地位然后以他们的这个出发点去考虑一下如果是我们的话，我们会怎么想
？You worked all night. You were disappointed. You were discouraged. And then this teacher gives you a crazy instruction.
你整夜的劳力但是你现在清晨的时候，你感觉到很失望，而且很绝望。然后这个时候呢，这个夫子又叫你做一件不可思议的事情。
You put your net in, expecting to find nothing, and haul in the mother load.
所以你先下网，下网的时候呢，你是觉得是一条鱼都不可能网到的，但是呢，你反而圈网到了，你从来没有圈网过的那么多的鱼。
Simon's immediate response to this haul of fish is interesting to observe.
那西门彼得马上就提出来。能够抓到圈网到这么多的鱼是一件很有意思的事情
Notice his first response is not I'm rich
我要大家注意的是他第一个回应不是说嘿我现在有钱了
His first response is Woe is me I am sinful
他第一个回应是说我是罪人我得罪了你
He saw the power of God and recognized that this act could have come only from God and recognized his own sinfulness.
他马上看到了这个神伟大的作为，而且马上认识这个作为只能够通过神而能够才能够发生，所以他就马上也同样的感觉到自己是一个罪人。
You think Jesus has their attention now?
你想说耶稣现在耶稣现在能够让他们开始注意力开始集中一点了吗
？Of course he does, and he uses that to place an expectation or a command upon their lives.
当然，他现在耶稣会这个晓得他们这个注意力开始集中了，就他趁这个时刻 把他的一个命令开始诫命，把他的一个诫命开始放在他们的身上。
Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people."
耶稣这个时候告诉他们不要害怕，从今以后你会要得人了。
Clearly, Jesus is calling them to action.
很明显的，耶稣这个时候要他们开始在行动上出发。
He's demonstrated his authority and power, and is now placing that authority on their lives as well.
耶稣很明显的能够证明了他的这个权柄，但现在把权柄能够转移到这些打鱼的人身上。
They have a choice to make. How are they going to respond to this call?
现在他们要马上要做一个选择，这个选择是他们怎么样对这个呼召要回应。
Now remember, their boat is full of fish.
所以但是我要提醒你们一下，这个时候他们两条船都装满了鱼。
And so verse 11 records for us.
十一节告诉我们。
They pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. They pulled their boats on shore and they sold it all and made a killing.
所以他这个刚开始是讲说他们把这两条船拢了岸，然后撇下了一切。对不起，我重新再讲一遍。他们把这个船拢了岸，把所有的货物都卖掉了，然后赚了一大笔钱。
Is that what the text says?
这个是不是经文所讲的呢？
Of course not.
当然不是。
And this is, I think, the detail that we so often miss in this text on evangelism.
这就是我当初刚开始所提的这个我们常常忽略的一个细节。
They woke up that morning with fish on their minds.
那天清晨他们醒来的时候，满脑海想的都是鱼。
Jesus gave them more fish than they had ever seen in one catch.
耶稣给他们一辈子来从来没有看过一网子能够抓得多那么多的鱼。
And they walked away from it all to follow him.
但是呢，他们在惊讶之中，放弃了所有的一切，然后跟随了耶稣。
The text literally makes it sound like they parked a boat full of fish on the shore and walked away from it.
这个经文讲的好像就是他们把船靠岸了，然后放下了一切东西，跟随了耶稣。
They're professional fishermen. This is their livelihood.
他们是全职性的打鱼的人，他们是靠这个为生的。
And when Jesus demonstrates his power and calls them to action, they walk away from it in pursuit of him.
耶稣证明了他的权柄，然后呼召他们，要他们有所回应。他们的回应是放弃了一切，跟随了耶稣。
Now I want to be careful to tell you what I'm not implying.
现在我要小心的告诉你，就是说我要提的不是我现在下面要讲的一些东西。
I don't believe this text is teaching us that we as followers of Jesus Christ can never enjoy the blessings he gives.
我现在要跟大家讲的就是，我不是告诉你们我们这些跟随耶稣的人不能够享受耶稣给我们的赐的福。
This text isn't telling us we must take a vow of poverty and give away all our possessions if we're going to follow Jesus Christ.
这个经文不是告诉我们，我们一定要过一个很贫穷的生活，我们一定要把所有的物质东西都放弃，来跟随耶稣基督。
I think I can prove that by another story that occurs in John chapter 21.
我现在要可以在那一点上面，我可以为大家证明。现在我要看到约翰福音21章去看另外一个故事。
John 21 records for us the end of Jesus' ministry. In fact, it's after his crucifixion.
这21章提到的是在耶稣事工结束可以说是结束以后，也可以就说是他在他这个十字架上受难以后。
Jesus in his sovereignty allows events to unfold in this story that are strikingly similar to the passage in Luke chapter 5.
在耶稣他自己掌权之下， 他让这个故事能够慢慢的这个发生到一个程度，就说是让这个故事跟我们今天讲的故事有相当程度的类似。
By way of background, Jesus has been crucified. These men were living thinking he was going to be the great hero.
所以跟这个二十一章之前的这个背景呢，就是耶稣基督已经在十字架上受难了。但是当初跟随他的人呢，以为他是会成为一个很伟大的英雄。
After Jesus' death, the disciples panic a little bit, and Peter says, "I'm going fishing."
那耶稣的肉体死亡了之后，这些使徒就开始有一点惊慌，所以这个彼得的反应就是我现在去打鱼了。
It's sort of their comfort zone. It's what they know.
这个打鱼这个事情是给他们有一个舒适感，这是他们因为这是他们所很熟悉的事情。
And here they are again, out all night, but catching nothing.
但是同样的，他们整个晚上在劳力，但是没有打到任何鱼。
Sound familiar, right?
听起来是不是一个熟悉的故事？
And so morning comes, and they've caught nothing, and they look on shore, and there's a man they don't recognize.
所以清晨来到了，他们那个时候他们还没有打到一条鱼，然后往岸边看，看到一个人站在那边。
And he gives them another strange instruction.
然后那个人给他们一个很不合理的这个指示。
Cast your net on the other side of the boat.
到船的另外一边下网。
Does the other side of the boat matter how much fish you catch?
这个在船上换边的话，真的会钓鱼打鱼的这个量有影响吗？
Of course not. But they obey.
当然没有了，但是他们还是顺服了。
And once again, they haul in an amazing amount of fish.
再一次的，他们能够圈网到一个惊人的数量的鱼。
And right away it dawns on them, Peter recognizes that's Jesus.
然后马上他们就醒悟到，然后彼得马上就晓得，在岸上那个人就是耶稣。
Have you ever wondered about the song "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One"?
有没有去想过，就说是数算你的？一样一样去数算你的恩典这首诗歌。
I always used to wonder how biblical that song was until I read this text more carefully.
那个我常常在想说那首诗歌是真的是根据圣经而写出来的吗？但是我到看了这节经文之后我就了解了。
Notice what the text records for us in verses 10 and 11.
我们来看这个经文10节11节跟我们说什么。
Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn.
十节十一节，在约翰福音二十一章，耶稣对他们说：“把刚才打的鱼拿几条来。”西门彼得就去把网拉到岸上。那网满了大鱼，共153条。鱼虽这么多，网却没有破。
The Apostle John wrote this book decades after these events happened.
约翰，使徒约翰，写这些经文的时候，是在几十年以后，写的这些经文。
And he still remembered exactly how many fish were in that boat.
虽然是过了几十年的时间，但是约翰还是很清楚的记得那天网里面有多少条鱼。
Not only that, this time around they got to enjoy the fish. They cooked it and ate it.
不光是如此，这一回呢，他们有机会去享受他们自己网到的鱼。
Now they didn't sell it all and get back into the fishing business.
他们没有把这些鱼去。卖掉，然后拿那些钱来做本钱，再回到打鱼的生活。
But I think Jesus is doing something intentional to remind them of His power.
但是因为耶稣是用是刻意的用这个例子来提醒 这些使徒他的权柄。
He blesses them. They enjoy the blessings, but at the same time, the blessings propel them back into his service.
所以耶稣祝福了使徒，然后使徒们有机会享受耶稣的祝福，然后这些经历，在推动了这些使徒回到耶稣的事工上面去。
In other words, what I think these two passages together are telling us is that sometimes it's okay to appreciate and value the blessings that Christ gives.
就这两节经文，对我来讲，就是我们可以去去享受，然后去以感恩的心去享受耶稣给我们的带来的祝福。
The problem comes when we are tempted to value the blessings above Christ Himself.
但是出问题的地方呢，就是有时候我们会把这个祝福对这个祝福比这个耶稣本身感觉上更有价值。
And that's the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach these fishermen who he is calling into his service.
这个也就是耶稣要教导这些打鱼的人的一个功课。
He's giving them a choice. Are you going to seek the goodies or are you going to seek the one who is capable of giving such blessings?
他们给这个耶稣给这个打鱼的人功课，叫他们选择，去要他们选择去怎么样去要晓得他们怎么样去寻求，是要寻求这个祝福呢，还是要寻求这个给他们祝福的这个人。
I pray that each and every one of you this morning has heard that call that Jesus makes upon our lives and has accepted it.
我为了这个这里的所有每一个人能够听到耶稣神在这方面对我们的呼召而向神祈求。
Through the cross, Jesus is calling us into a relationship with him.
通过十字架耶稣呼召我们每一个人跟他有一个亲密的关系。
I'm not assuming you have such a relationship.But if you do, Jesus places expectations upon our lives.
我不敢假设每一个人都有这么一个跟耶稣都有这么一个亲密的关系。但是如果是你有的话，你就要晓得耶稣在这个关系上面有相当程度的对我们有期望。
But here's what so many of us do after we've been followers of Christ for a time.
但是问题是有些我们跟随了耶稣有一段时间的人会有以下的这样子的做法。
We hold out our hands and Jesus fills them with blessings and then we say, mine.
我们会把手伸出来然后向神祈求，等神把这个我们手中的这个空间完全填满了之后，我们会把手上拿了这个东西收回来，然后告诉神这些东西都是属于我们的。
My job, my family, my children, my house, my car.
我们常常会讲这是我的工作，这是我的家庭，这是我的小孩，这是我的房子，这是我的车子。
And we begin to lose sight of the giver and begin focusing on the gift.
我们开始忘记了忘记了这个礼物跟给我们礼物的人的这个优先次序。
Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not implying that physical gifts are the only gifts that Christ gives.
大家不要误解我的意思。我不是是说神给我们的祝福一定都是一些有形的这个有形有状的这个祝福。
But as James reminds us, every good and perfect gift comes from above.
但是雅各提醒过我们，每一个美善的、完美的礼物都是从天上而来的。
And the gifts that tend to tempt us most to draw our eyes off Christ are the material things of this world.
但是问题是， 礼物，一些礼物，最容易让我们在耶稣身上分心的，让我们注目不在耶稣身上的礼物，都是物质上的一些礼物。
So often we become so focused on the blessings that Christ provides and forget that following Christ is not about blessings, it's about Him.
所以我们常常注意到这个耶稣给我们的祝福，然后忘记了这个祝福给的这个人是我们要注意的对象。
We become focused on the gifts and lose sight of the giver and forget that the greatest gift God has given us is Christ Himself.
所以我们常一常忘记了这个我们注意力常常是在这个给我们的礼物上面，而不是给礼物我们这个人的这个身上。我们最大的神给我们最大的礼物是耶稣基督本人。
So I want to return to my question that I asked you as we opened this morning.
所以再一次回到我今天早上开始的时候问你们的一个问题。
When you woke up this morning, what one problem was pressing on your mind?
所以今天早上你们起来的时候有什么事情在你的心理上给你特别大的压力呢？
If Jesus were to walk into this room this morning and miraculously solve that problem for you,
如果说耶稣基督很奇异的能够从那个门子那今天从那个门里走进来，然后把这件事把你心理上的压力这件事情解决了
，How would you respond?
你会怎么样回应基督呢？耶稣基督呢
？Now, don't misunderstand me.He doesn't have to do it in person by a miracle. He's sovereign.
我要提醒大家，就是他们耶稣不一定要在身体上显现了以后才能够行这些奇迹，他是掌管一切的。
And the way so many of us respond as Christians when Jesus in His sovereignty works in our lives is to say, "Thanks God, I got it from here."
但是我们的问题是呢，也常常耶稣通过他的这个权柄，在我们生活上有所做工的时候呢，我们马上把这个做工的结果接收到我们这边来，然后跟耶稣讲说：“够了，我从这边开始接手。”
That is exactly the attitude of the heart that Jesus is exposing to these men in Luke chapter 5.
刚才提到的这个情况呢，就是。耶稣在路加福音第五章要提出来对这些打鱼的人要提出来的一个警告。
When he calls them to become fishers of men, he gives them a choice.
当他们耶稣呼召他们做这个叫他们得人要得鱼的时候呢，他给他们一个选择。
He's basically asking them the question, what is going to be the driving factor in your life?
基本上他要他们思考的呢，这些人要思考的问题呢，就是在你们生活当中，最大的原动力是哪里？
Each and every one of us need to ask ourselves that question this morning as well.
我们在座的每一位都需要在今天早上问同样的问题。
And let me give you a hint.About the answer.
在这个解答上面，让我给你一点提示。
If the thing that you live for, if the thing that drives you forward, if the thing that compels you is not Jesus Christ and His glory, it's just fish.
我要提醒你的是，如果说你每天生活的这个目的，每天在生活上推动你的这个力量。这个原动力，如果他这个力量不是耶稣基督的话，说到底，它只是一条鱼而已。
Now you say, Brother Ben, you don't understand. You're not in my situation.
也许你会说，哎，Ben 弟兄，你对我的情况一点都不了解。
The point that Jesus is driving home is not regarding situation. It's regarding the thing that we are going to live for.
耶稣基督要提出来这个重点呢，给我们提出来的这个教导呢，跟这个 生活的情况处境一点关系都没有。这个他的提出来的重点呢，是我们要注意我们要注目的对象。
And he asks them a question: Are you going to follow me, or are you going to follow the goodies?
他问的问题是：你们要跟随我，还是你们要跟随这些货物？
By way of conclusion, I think it's helpful to fast forward in the story and observe the choices these men made.
所以现在这个时候呢，我们就开始快速的往前跳，然后来看一看这些人当初做的决定。
By the time we get to the book of Acts.The secular leaders look at these same men, and their statement regarding them is very interesting.
到使徒行传的时候，我们可以看到这个当地的一些地方性的领袖对这些人的看法是很特殊的。
The Gentile leaders look at the disciples, and their evaluation is those are the men that have turned Israel upside down.
这个外邦人这个领袖对使徒的这个看法呢，就是使徒是以这个把以色列搞得翻天覆地的这个一批人。
12 men, fishermen, tax collectors, lawyers, turned a whole nation upside down.
12个人包括渔夫包括律师包括这个税吏把一个国家能够搞得翻天覆地。
You know why they were able to do that?
你们晓得为什么这些人能如此做吗？
Because at the beginning of the call placed upon their lives, they made a choice to follow hard after Jesus Christ.
因为当初首先的呼召放在他们身上的时候，他们的回应是全心全意追寻耶稣。
Jesus filled their hands with blessings, and they walked away from it to follow him.
耶稣在他们手掌中放满了祝福的东西，但是他们把那些东西都放弃了，跟随耶稣。
Those are the kind of people that God can use for His glory and the spread of His kingdom.
那种人是神为了他的国度，为了他的荣耀可以使用的人。
So my final question for you this morning is, what are you living for?
我今天早上问的最后一个问题，对在座所有人问的最后一个问题，是你生活的目标是什么？
If it's not Jesus Christ and His glory, then it's just.
如果说你生活的目标不是耶稣基督以及他的荣耀的话，你只是为了一条鱼而活。